Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Before you sit, I'll tell you something before you sit. I believe that the people who come for midweek service are the real. I tell you that respectfully. Except if you have done a very diligent job, been watching all the previous sermons, I can tell you categorically that if you have not attended this church for 18 months. Now, let me say this, if you don't mind, not to put you on the spot, I'm very excited that we have new members. So if you have not attended this church more than 18 months, wave at me. God bless you all. That's a lot of people. And that's exactly what I'm saying. So we have a lot to learn. And this is one of those sermons that every ministry that is very serious about what God has sent them to do must repeat regularly. I dare say every calendar year. Amen, somebody. So Jude verse 3. Jude verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." So listen, he's talking to people who are saved. Come on, are you with me? This is very important. He's talking to people who are saved. Like you might have heard me say, even after you are saved, there is what to do. What is your next priority? How should you be? How ought you to think? What should be your meditation, your modus operandi in ministry and in devotion? Concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to exhort you to contend. Everybody say contend. Now, this is a very interesting word because when you're reading it in your KJV, you don't understand what he's saying. But the Greek word for contend here is epagonizomai, and it actually means to compete in a sport to win. Did you hear what I just said? So, what a lot of people do not know is that the modern day Olympics originated long before in those days. So you can hear Paul say that, don't you know that many run a race, but one wins a prize? Come on, that's a familiar text, right? Because sporting competition already existed in those days. It was called the Isthmian Games or something like that. About 40 years before Christ came. And he's using sports to preach a good sermon. This is good. Paul did it too. Many run a race, but one receives the prize. You see, you can use the devotion of athletes to inspire believers. That's what he's letting you know. And I always like to use the example of a 100-meter dash because it's incredible. 100-meter dash at Olympics level, by 10 seconds, everybody is done. Isn't that true? 10 seconds. Everybody is done. But think about it now. How long is 10 seconds? Everybody count with me. One. You're fast now, you know, right? Well, thereabout, that's 10 seconds, right? Now, somebody uses 4 years to train for a race that will last 10 seconds. Has that ever dawned on you that every morning he wakes up, everything he eats, every time he goes to the gym, he's doing everything with 10 seconds in view, the level of concentration and devotion for 10 seconds? Think about it. With 10 seconds on the line. 5 a.m. I'm at the gym. Working hard. Lifting weights. Doing all those rigors. For 10 seconds. So you can understand why Paul will say, if they do that for a corruptible price, how much more you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you see, when we're talking about ministry, winning souls for Christ, sometimes it doesn't dawn on us the kind of devotion that we ought to have. One of the ministers' trainings I was having, I told them, I said, if you are doing it for souls, nobody who is doing business for money should work harder than you. Did you hear what I said? If you are doing it for souls, nobody who is doing business for money should work harder than you. It's very simple. That by your effort, we should tell the value of what you are gunning for. Amen, somebody. And so that's what he's saying here. Contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And now he's using the same sporting terms, meaning there is competition. Understand, we have an adversary. We have an adversary. The way you play friendlies is not the same way you play Olympics. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when it's Olympics, you know that a lot is at stake. And so he's saying from your deep, preach like someone who has an opposition. And the opposition, by the way, is not the church next door. It's the enemy trying to blind believers, trying to send people into the fold, to confuse them, to make sure that they no longer are sure what the true message is. He says, contend. Preach like you're tearing something down. Are you getting what I'm saying? Preach like you are up against something. This is why Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to do to what? Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. We know a lot is at stake. That when you preach on Sunday, the people will hear different things in the office, on the streets, for 6 days straight. You know, there was a time some of our pastors were working, you know, at a company here. Close somewhere in Lagos, Pastor Yemi, Pastor Bisola, you know, and maybe God sends them to that company because they need, in fact, because there were some people who were identifying as atheists. They had read all manner of strange books, and they would bring up strange conversations, confusing people, and so they had to stand. Are you listening to me? This was in the office, and she said one day, argument was so heated, he had to stand on the table to be heard. Stood on the table and shouted and said, you are wrong. And this is why. Gradually, they began to bring office members to church from 1 to 2 to 3. Many of them are still members today. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I was just thinking about how God was also confirming his word with signs following. Then our fellowship, you know, midweek service, we were like 10, 15. And one of them was having trouble in the office. As he came in, I don't know if you remember this. I said, the Lord says there's someone here. You're having trouble in the office and you may lose your job. But this is, so, after the service, he said, you told your pastor about me. And he said, no. Are we not just coming from work together? But all I'm saying is this. It will take contention. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Paul says we stood against the beasts in Ephesus. You understand? He's letting you know this is warfare. This isn't something to be taken casually. When you have the opportunity to preach, preach knowing that you are standing against principalities and powers. Rulers of the darkness of this age. Help me nudge the person by your side. Say contend. So it's serious business. Please, you get what I'm saying, right? Serious business. For what did you say? Did he say you should contend? He says, for the faith. So much can be drawn out of this text. I spent a lot of minutes talking about the single word contend. Now, the expression, the phrase, the faith tells you something. It tells you that it is something definite. You know the use of definite articles, don't you? If I'm standing outside and I say, call me a girl. There are a lot of people who fall into that category in this hall. But if I say, call me the girl, you say, who? Which girl? Because the definite article has added specificity. I'm talking about someone in particular. It is no longer open to suggestions. It has been reduced to one person. So when he says the faith, he's telling you that the knowledge of God's word has been canonized. That the message is specific. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is no longer open to innovation. It is no longer open to innovation. It's just like when you watch a movie, you watch it from beginning to end. Come on, are you getting ready? Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, the revelation of God in Christ, from Genesis to Revelation, everything God wanted us to know is in his word. You believe that, right? And so, it is called the faith. There is nothing outside that that is relevant for our salvation. Amen, somebody. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. And so, preaching must be a faithful interpretation of that Bible you have in your hand. It is the faith. It is not open to innovation. It is not open to creativity. We can be creative in the expression, in the explanation, but not in the message. This is important. And it says, contend for specificity. It should bother us that many churches are teaching different things. Are you getting what I'm saying? It should bother us. We cannot all be right. I hope you know. It is logically inconsistent to say that we are all right when we are saying different things. It is either we are all wrong or only one person is right. And I'm not suggesting, as we go on, you will understand the balance of all that I'm saying. But all I'm letting you know is this, that when you grow spiritually, you become interested in the real thing. Come on, say the faith. Something specific. So you're not impressed by every preaching. Let me tell you something. A stage will come. Not every sermon will bless you. I'm talking, do you understand what I'm saying? There are some people, they say, is it not church? Haven't you heard statements like that? Is it not church? Is it not the word of God? No. And if you don't know that, it is not love work to be blessed by every sermon. There is a different diagnosis if you're blessed by every sermon. I will show you what it is. Very quickly, let me show you what it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. Come on, everybody. Till we all do what? Come in the unity of the faith. Listen. The word translated unity means unanimity. Meaning, if we are truly learning right, we should come to the same understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unanimity of the faith. Listen, because of the human nature, if this will ever happen, I don't know. There are too many egos in the church for us to admit. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? For us to learn from each other, be rebuked when we are wrong, adjust our convictions. But this is still the dream of God. Unity of the faith. Knowledge of the Son of God. It says, unto a perfect man. Now, this is where I'm going, verse 14. Everybody read verse 14 together, 1, 2, go. That we should no longer be children. Who is a child? Who is a spiritual child? Someone who cannot cast out devils? No. It says, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. It says, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. When you grow up, you'll be harder to deceive. You know, when I was a child, my uncle had this scar on his hand. And I asked, "Uncle, how did you get this scar?" And he gave me this grandiose story of how he was in the forest, a lion tried to get at him, and he just, as the lion was trying to, you know, use his paw to strike him, he just caught the hand, you know, and then held him out, and you know, as he was demonstrating, you know, I was imagining it, and I was like, I was invested in the story. Then he said, after hours of fighting, he ripped the lion apart with his bare hands, but the lion scratched him. And I kid you not, now, especially when I was a child, I had a photographic memory. I remember where I was, everything. It was that graphic. And in my mind, I tell you the truth. Can I tell you what I thought? I said, this one's strong past that deal. As in my mind, I said, Daddy is strong, but this man. And every time as a child, when I'm greeting him and I see this car, I will remember. I'm like, how are you, sir? You know? Now, after a while, he got married. He left us, you know, moved into his own house. Then I grew up years after. Now, just imagine. Now, I'm in secondary school. I see him after a long time, and I see this car. Now, I can't explain it, but in few seconds, I remember the story. I was about to go to my default thought of being impressed, but I now remember that I'm an adult now. Then I now remember, they job me. Then I looked at him, no be your fault. I said, wow. Because children are easy to deceive. They cannot sift through. Do you understand what I'm saying? They can't sift through. Can't sift through. The reason why there are false ministries is because there are so many immature Christians who can't tell white from black. They can't. That's why. And it says that you henceforth, please, everybody say henceforth. You know, for many people, there will be that shift in your life. There will be that shift. Just know, no, I don't grow past this one. Those days are gone. Can't catch me like this again. Do you understand? Say again, say henceforth. That you henceforth be no more children, us to and fro. So how do you know you are a child? Listen, when you listen to everything, it's not love work. It is immaturity. It is children that can be, you know, they cannot discern. They can't even tell what is contradictory. Tell every sermon, that's deep. You too, you have a point. Everybody has a point. If you are always blessed, it might be a problem. I'm not talking about when you find a proper teaching ministry, it's a totally different thing. But if every single Bible information you see out there blesses you, you are in trouble. This text is for you. He said, till we all come. So we are waiting for you. Well, yes, we are waiting for you. When you are done with this childishness, come and meet us. There is a place called henceforth. Come on, are you with me? So back to Jude. It says, contend earnestly. Like I said, that word means to struggle, to fight, to compete. compete. You see? We should have a thermometer, an imaginary thermometer. You can feel the pulse of falsehood when it is rising. You want to inject superior teaching to bring it down. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can tell. When truth is gaining popularity, you can tell. You can feel it. When the Bible says, so mightily grew the word, did they come outside and see it in the sky growing like this? Do you understand? You can feel it. Some of you know what I'm saying, right? You can feel it. He says, contend for the faith delivered. Oh my God. Now, another word I wanted to pay attention to. It says, for the faith that was once for all, what? Delivered to the saints. Think about it. Do you know what that means? It means faith is a button. You hear what I said? Faith is what? It is something to receive, something to run with. So he's talking about generational heritage of the truth. Delivered to the saints. They handed a baton to you. It is something specific. So you don't get creative. You don't get innovative. If Paul the apostle should listen to your teaching and say, I never saw it that way. You're a false teacher. Some people, what they teach from Paul's writings, if Paul should hear it, you'll be confused. Imagine reading from someone's book and the person say, I didn't see it that way. The person will write down. Because people will innovate. Have you heard inventions, doctrinal inventions before? There's no lie. Have you been impressed by falsehood? That is false, but how do you think go that side? Delivered. Listen, this is serious. If you're a good Bible student, you'll understand how important this is. Because when it comes to spiritual things, patterns are important. Are you listening to me? Patterns are important. Read through the Bible. You cannot serve God the way you like. You know that, right? You must serve God according to pattern. You must pray according to pattern. You must be saved according to pattern. I hope you know, unfortunately, there will be well-behaved people who will go to hell. You don't know that? Because good behavior is not the power of God unto salvation. There is a pattern. No other name is given by which men should be saved but by the name of Jesus. There is a pattern for salvation. There's a pattern for worship. And when you study the Bible, you will see how grievous it is not to follow patterns. I think at pastor's conference 2 years ago, I was teaching and I used the example of Cain. A lot of people are under the impression that the reason Cain's sacrifice was not accepted was that he didn't give good enough crops. He didn't give God his best. The Bible didn't say that. Maybe you don't realize, nowhere in the Bible are we told that Cain did not give God good crops. In fact, he was angry because he believed he tried. Wake up. You know why you thought he gave God bad crops? Because of that yellow children's book you had. How many of you did not know that that book was done by Jehovah's Witness? Raise your hand if you did not know. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. And somewhere in that book, they snuck it in that Jesus is not God. That he is an angel. Go and look for the book and read it again. But anyway, so when you see the picture, the crops were bad and terrible, you know, and all of that. And now we thought that is why God did not accept it. Oh, the reason God did not accept it is because the sacrifice, there was a pattern for sacrifice. The sacrifice was supposed to prefigure what Christ was going to come and do. So the reason God accepted the sacrifice is because you were placing faith on the fact that Christ will die. Christ is the real Lamb of God. Are you getting this? And so that sacrifice had to have blood. But because he was a farmer, he brought crops. So he was relying on his works. You're getting it now? He was relying on his works. Meanwhile, it wasn't about works. And so listen, from that story, you learn that even if you are sincere, if it is not according to pattern, it won't be accepted. From the Bible, you see the dangers of innovation. When God was giving Moses the pattern for building the utensils that would be in the temple, it was specific. He said, make sure you do everything according to the pattern that I've shown you. There was a strict pattern to follow. So the ark was supposed to have handles, four handles, and they were supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. But you see, one day they were journeying and they came up with innovation, you know, tech. And so they're like, why put it on our shoulder in the 21st century? It's heavy. Let's put it on a wheel so that we will just be rolling. They see me rolling. You know what I'm saying? You know that song? I think it was Ron Canole that sang that song. Boy, hey, you say how you know. The way you know this song is the way I know this song. What's that? You know? So, they were rolling it. Guess what? When they were rolling it, God did not talk. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. Then they entered a gallop. And the ark was about to fall. Then someone touched. That's what happened in that story. Now you want to touch the ark. As he touched it, he died instantly. Let me tell you something. Sometimes spiritual patterns are a life or death issue. Especially when it comes to receiving salvation. Do things according to pattern. Let me tell you something. Not every sermon pleases God. Including the ones people shout about. Including the ones people... Read your Bible. Was more respected when it came to oratory than Paul. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, if you read carefully, you will see that Paul was shading him when he said, When I came to you, I didn't come in the excellency of man's speech so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why was he saying that? The reason it wasn't obvious to you is because you read in chapters and verses. But if you remove the chapters, you see that it was flowing from chapter 1. When it was divided, some say I'm for Apollos, there was competition. And the Bible says Apollos was an orator. You know, he was an orator. You know, there are some people, once they just this, they will even be hailing you walking Bible. Chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 6, chapter 2. Okay. explain it, problem day. You just cram what you don't know. Oh yeah, explain it. Now, make no mistake, just is good. It helps you. It helps you recall. It helps you meditate. But that's not where the power is. Come on, are you with me? That's not where the power is. If you know the scripture and you quote it, do you understand? In the time of need, the devil will not say, where is it quoted from? As long as it's in the word that you believe it, it is efficacious. Do you understand what I just said? Chapters and verses are the inventions of men. You don't know? Chapters and verses are not inspired. Oh, you don't know? Not inspired. It was added for easy reference. Chapters and verses are not God-breathed. And if you check well, you discover that there are even some chapters that they should have left to flow so that you understand the flow of thought. But that's a conversation for another day. All I'm letting you know is how strict patterns are. And I want to show you some texts that emphasize this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 13 to 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 13 to 14. Everybody read together. One, two, go. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me. Look at you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hold fast what? The pattern of sound words. Listen, it is one thing to hold fast the words, it's another thing to hold fast the pattern of sound words. It means there is even the way to say the right thing. The right thing must be said the right way. There is a wrong way to say the right thing. I wish I had enough time to explain this to you. Again, I'm saying this. There is a wrong way to say the right thing. How what is said is as important as what is said. If you are in a relationship, you know what I'm saying. You understand it perfectly. How what is said is as important as what is said. Hold fast the form of sound words. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, and the things that you have heard of me among what? Many witnesses. I will tell you why that is important in a minute. He says, commit to faithful men. Listen, let me tell you something. Look at me. When it comes to being a good preacher, the most important thing is faithfulness before skill. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are a good preacher when you are able to take the message unadulterated from the word of God and deliver it. You see, have you ever had bad experiences with delivery men? Have you ever ordered food and the delivery man tasted it? Oh, but you've heard stories like that. It will happen. It will taste your smoothie. They don't drink your smoothie. I'm reading it for you, right? Just and put the straw back. You don't taste your smoothie. So let me tell you something. What makes a delivery man good? Is it just his skill that he was fast? He must deliver it unadulterated. As he's driving fast, he can be holding the smoothie in one hand and still be sipping it. And he will get there on time. As you bring the cup close, you smell something. The ingredients of this thing is mango, pineapple. And they smell egusi somewhere. What egusi they do for this thing? I'm trying to irritate some of you. Praise the Lord. So when it comes to delivering, you must deliver it whole. Praise the Lord. That the journey from Paul to our generation, the message must reach you intact. It must not be watered down from generation to generation. All I'm explaining is the word delivered. It's a pattern. That if you take someone from our generation, side by side, someone in the early church, there will be no difference. Because it's the same word, the same God, the same spirit. Say loud, amen. Amen. And that's how you know you've been pastored right. I'm pastored right. Cannot be crocodile here. Then war gecko in America. No. In every generation, pick from any generation, must be consistency. And he said, fight for it. Listen, the goal is not just to tell you that that's the will of God. The goal is to tell you that it is something to fight for. Meaning God wants a generation who will not tolerate mediocre ministry. That's what God wants. God wants. I like to have fun. I like to relax. But there are some things that should not happen in church. Are you listening to me? If I come to church on a Sunday morning, I don't want to see a comedian. I have a lot of them as friends. I attend some comedy specials. Except I'm engaged. If I say, okay, it has a program, I'm not missing it. I love them, a good number of them. But when we come to church, listen, I explained all of this so you will know how particular the Spirit of God is about things like that. There is a strange pattern. There is how to conduct yourself in the house of God. There is what is obtainable. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that some guys offered a kind of incense that God called strange fire. Have you read about that before? You see, because there is a pattern, then there is strange. There is what is strange. There is what is strange. Have you heard a strange sermon before? Have you seen strange flow of the spirit before? I mean, we are charismatic, but when you see some things, you say, this is not the time to talk about it, but let me tell you something. If the world is the one calling out the ills in the church is losing integrity. If it takes someone who has an unrenewed mind, who doesn't have the Holy Ghost, to say, this is wrong, we're losing our ground. When we stand for what is right, it now becomes clear, okay, the church is not like that. It is this once. Are you getting it now? It says contend. 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 You know why you have to contend for it? Just because it's true doesn't mean it will be popular. If you don't fight for it, lie will reign. Lies will reign. If you don't fight for the truth, lies will become popular. It takes war for the truth to be popular. It takes war for the truth to gain ascendancy. like to write. Okay. Praise the Lord. Don't worry. Are you getting me? In every generation, understand this. Truth obeys the law of gravity. Without standards, it will fall. If you don't create a structure to uphold it, it will what? And that is why he says, fight. Don't say because it's the word of God, it will stand. No. It is the job of the ecclesia in every generation to fight. So when you get to heaven and they ask you what you did with the word of God in your own generation, what will you say? Hallelujah. Maybe at the end, like Paul, you'll be able to say, I fought a good fight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you, at the end, you didn't break a sweat, nothing. God forbid, that will not be you in the name of Jesus. Some people will say, I fought a good fight. Angels say, Are you sure you want to go to heaven like this? You want to end with lying? Hallelujah. Rehearse it ahead of time. Say, I fought a good fight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, turn your Bibles to Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Everybody read together, 1, 2. First Thessalonians 5, 21. Read together, 1, 2, go. Prove all things, hold fast. Read it again, 1, 2, go. Oh my God. Now listen, first and foremost, he's giving you an instruction. Prove how many things? All things. Meaning, oh my God. And if the body of Christ understands this, we'll come to a new level of maturity. Because we grew up with a tradition that abominates sincere questions. Why do we do it this way? Why is it done this way? I can tell you one thing for sure. A lot of people were pushed into atheism because the church was not ready to answer their questions. Just that. We were not ready to answer their questions. That's why. Prove all things. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. It says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready to give an answer. That's what it means. Prove all things. Be ready to give an answer. My faith is not blind. I know why I believe what I believe. I can defend it. I know why I believe what I believe. Prove all things. And then he says, oh my God. There's so much to say about that. But I think we'll expand it. Let me just touch on this before I move on. When it says prove all things, the Greek word translated there is used to describe something that they did in those days to test the strength of a material. So when they wanted to test how strong a metal was, they would pass it through fire. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? It is the same Greek word that was used later in 1 Corinthians when it says every man's work will be passed through fire. It says prove all things. Listen, when it comes to doctrinal maturity, we need to learn this. Because have you ever heard some things that are nice but are not proven? They're not proven. Nice. There are some slick phrases. You'll be excited. Woo! You don't understand what I'm saying? But you know this one won't hold water. It won't hold water. You can't stand with this one. It means one of the ways to judge the correctness, not just of the message, but of the teaching, the emphasis. Judging the correctness of the emphasis is you anticipate the impact. If this thing passes through fire, will it stand? And when you understand what I'm telling you, you know that even good teachings can be executed the wrong way. There is a way you teach grace. Eh? And people's consecration will die. It is true. I heard of a man of God. He listened to one sermon like this. As they were done from church, he first went to buy 3 bottles of beer. That was how he responded to the word. He was like, I've been suffering since. He went to buy 3 bottles, opened it like this. You understand what I'm saying? So, like I said, there is a right way to say the right thing. So some people are deeper than Paul. Oh yes, because the extent, and you know, is another thing with this generation. Because you know that the more dramatic the punchline is, the greater the response. You want to stretch it. What Paul did not say. Even on the bed of, what kind of presentation is this? Do you get what I'm saying? Same way, there is a wrong way to teach sanctification. There is a way you teach it and people will enter into bondage again. Are you aware? Are you aware that there are believers who fell into sin and couldn't deal with the shame and committed suicide? There's almost no good thing, no good doctrine that cannot be taught the wrong way. There is a way you will teach fasting and you will kill people. And I'm not telling you something hypothetical. I'm telling you something that has happened many times. And so it says, prove all things. Prove all things. Help me preach to the person as I say, prove all things. You see, this is how I grew. Knowing that God is not offended by my sincere desire to know the truth. And you know that you are pastored right when the pastor is pointing you to the scriptures as final authority. His work is to point you, to help you see it yourself in the Word of God. So that the conviction comes from the Word of God. Follow me as I follow Christ. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Not my pastor told me prove all things. Not daddy told me prove all things. You see, I have a gift. I don't know how God gave me this gift. But I've always known how to sift and get the best lessons from people. You know, I never mind what you heard me say, for instance, about my biological dad when I was teaching on attachment styles and all of that. You see, let me tell you a true life story. I think I've said it maybe at the Island Church. My dad had an ailment long ago and had to be put on anesthesia. So when he was unconscious, you know what he was saying in his subconscious state? My children, if I die, who will look after them? You see, an African man is an African man. He may never say, I love you. Or are you supposed to know now? Yeah, you know, so it is in states like that, you catch him, that hard guy. Really love me, oh. Yeah. My mom, one of the sweetest human beings you ever find. You see, there are some people, if you have issues with them, you are the devil. I do not think in all my years I've seen someone sensible, not like my mom. I can't think of anybody who did not like my mom. I mean, in all my life. My dad plenty. You understand? But he gave us. Here's what I'm saying. My mom, sweet character, you know, jovial, you know, and all of that, but also nonchalant. I will not be here if it was only my mom that trained me. I can't do ministry with that kind of behavior. My mom was very brilliant. There are many programs she was doing. Halfway, she was stressed. She was saying, oh, I'm not doing it again. Don't stress me. All of us talk. You know, she's very content. And many times, that's a blessing. Other times, you're like, I beg now. My dad. Very driven. Let me give you an example. You know, there was a time finances went bad, you know, and rent was kept going on up. So one day my dad just got fed up and he said, we're moving into our uncompleted house. When I say uncompleted, it's not the one you have in your mind. Worse than that. The one you have in your mind is plastered, is it not? So I'm saying that much of the house was not even plastered. So we just plastered a few rooms. He said, we'll be doing it gradually. I'm tired. So we moved in. You don't get what I'm saying. I mean, there were rooms that still had red sand. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. You know, but you see, that drive, I needed that balance. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? You know, so I just, you know, test all things, hold on to what is. Because there were times, there were people that needed a piece of our mind. I'm going to just say, leave them. Huh? And like, you know, in this world, when you're sweet like my mom, people will step on your toes. See nonsense. You see nonsense in our office, and, you know. And God just helped me balance that. The reason I'm saying this is because whilst we are emphasizing fidelity for the truth, when it comes to things of God, you must understand that fundamentally everybody is flawed. There is no perfect vessel to learn from. Let me tell you something. I have not found one human being on the earth with flawless theology. There is no... See, and I've listened to a lot of great people, trust me. There is no one single person that I cannot fault on something. I have not found. And the easy ways, there are some easy ways to catch people. Usually the people who are strong on orthodoxy, just hear their views on charismatic. Just say, teach on tongues. Problem there. The ones that are strong on charismatics, ask them core theology. See, when I see people, you know, arguing doctrine, you know, I smile because... When I started my own, I didn't know any single person. And I'm not saying they weren't. I'm saying I did not know. Are you listening to me? When I was preaching grace, just grace, so I didn't know any other grace in this nation. When I said, if you don't tithe, no devourer will devour you. I did not know any other person teaching that. And I was radical. Those who were there are laughing. See, let me tell you something. There was a sermon. Before I started the sermon, I first played on the screen some notable men of God goofing. That's how I started. And I said, today, I just want to let you know, all you watched is... That's how I started. And I learned. Are you listening to me? Because, you know, someone put it in a brilliant way, talking about the transfer of, you know, the prophetic ministry from Eli to Samuel. Brilliant! The Bible says that visions were scarce in those days. Why were visions scarce in those days? Because God wasn't showing visions? No! Because Eli was backsliding. That's why. Visions were scarce in those days. And as a demonstration of the spiritual reality, his eyes were blurred. Not just because he was old, but as a demonstration of the spiritual reality, both his physical and spiritual eyes were blurred. And now, God wants to speak to Samuel, this young prophet. God speaks to him. He doesn't know he's God. He stands up and he goes to Eli. He says, "You called me." You know, that's another interesting thing. That you will still hear the voice of God many times in a way that sounds like your instructor. Maybe it never dawned on you. It is the pattern God has chosen. When a lot of you say, "I dreamt, you saw me," mean that I was sleeping. I was sleep. Believe me, I was sleeping. Many times I'm praying, many times I'm not even praying for you. I'm telling you, God just uses your man of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? To communicate with you. That's the Lord. Sometimes the angel of the Lord. So, this guy, his walk with God is not as it should be. But God still talks to Samuel in a way that sounds like his voice. And he comes to Eli and says, "You called me." He said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back." Went back. I can tell you, as someone who has dealt in the things of God a little, you don't know how big a blessing it is to encounter things that people can explain. There are cheap things you should step into in the realm of the spirit. If there was nobody to explain it, it would take you years. If you miss an encounter like that, it can take you 10 years, 15 years. Some are gone forever. That God was calling you and you didn't know it was the Lord. Just, and then sometimes someone who don't bros, will explain it in a simple way. I mean, after experiencing, you know, angels several times, a friend of mine came to me and said, "Oh, I had this strange experience." I said, "What happened?" He said he just woke up in the night, walked to his living room and saw fire. And the room was not on fire, but there was fire. Nothing was being burned, but there was fire. And he's wondering, "What is this?" He walked inside it. And then when he walked inside it, mysteriously, his wife who was sleeping also woke up. And the wife also came to him. And as he stretched his hand to his wife, I'm not talking about a pastor, I'm talking about a businessman. As he stretched his hand to his wife, the wife fell down. "What is going on? What?" So he was just like, "This is a mystery, you know, and all of that." And he had carried the question on his heart for years. So when he saw me, I just said, "Oh, quack, 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 quack. You know, I taught you now." He makes his angel spirits, his ministers, flames of fire. It's very simple. Exactly what happened in the burning bush. That's it. And you could see his eyes light up. Do you know what I've missed because there was no one to explain to me? That exact thing that happened to Samuel happened to me. Exact. Only I was not sleeping. I was seated in a dark room. You know, till now I still say, "God, since morning there was light, you didn't call me." Now I wear light, no day. So, see, I am not talking about inward witness. I'm not talking about inward voice. The same way, if you are looking this way and someone calls you at the back, you turn back. That was what happened. I heard my name loud. It wasn't loud, sorry, but clear. A name that they only call me at home. So, to let you know how clear it was, I responded out. I thought it was my sister. I said, Anne, stop it. What is wrong with you? Then I heard the name again. I called our house help. I said, what is wrong with you? Why are you playing? When I heard it the third time, I ran. I thought it was the devil. They don't tell me. It's not all of us that watch Nollywood. In all the movies, when God wants to talk to you, there will first be light. Then you will not see one man wearing white walking. I didn't know that he that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow. I didn't know. There was no airline to explain to me. A flawed man of God, but with experience. Now, you are having visions you cannot interpret. They are not having visions, but they have the discernment. It is in such a way that both generations must now handshake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh my God. Because, you see, this is what is happening. It looks like the fathers don't get it. Come on. This is, in some ways, you can relate. That it seems like there are some things God wants to do the fathers don't get. They don't seem to be seeing it. You are getting these fresh visions, these directions, and you're like, why are they not seeing it? You feel like God is speaking to you. You have the now word for this generation. But I can tell you one thing for sure. You may be right. May, hypothetically, let's assume you're right, that some of them are not seeing the visions, but you need their experience. As someone who has been in ministry for a while, I can tell you definitively, if you try to do ministry in this nation, in this world, without counsel, you may end in jail. Is that serious? It's that serious. In a place like UK, for instance, you do ministry anyhow. Prison. You will start prison ministry. You win souls. Experience. There's a man of God in this country. I don't know why God led him. He just called me and he asked me a question that he will normally ask and I will not normally answer. What's your salary? So, normally I would just wiggle my way around the question, but I felt a release to just tell him. And he said, I understand you are trying to put the interest of the ministry, you're trying to show consecration and all of that, but this thing will affect you administratively in this way. Give me like 4 different reasons. Until I started applying to the UK, I wanted to travel. They sent the distant back. Because you see, it is not about how much money you have in your account. They judge your capacity based on your salary. So they said, you want to spend 1 month, I'll be 3 weeks in the UK. It is going to cost average this amount monthly. Your salary cannot keep up. So now, here was I keeping my salary low because I wanted to do ministry. And now, because of that, I can't do the ministry. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then he just said, now I had been rejected 3 times. Many times? Times. 3 times. And he just said, for UK application, you know, some of you, all you know is prayer. He said they are looking for just, mention 4 things. Go and do this, go and do this, go and do this. And try again in four months. Make I tell you, you know? Just like that. There isn't enough time. Maybe another time. No, just simple things. Time is going on.
when I was talking epagonism man, you know, serious like this, so see people,
you want to jack me?
He said, anybody who is rejected from the UK is either of two things. It's either your finance doesn't add up, you have not proven to them beyond reasonable doubt. Or he mentioned one other thing I can't remember right now. And so he just said, for your finance, first and foremost, for someone like me who receives prophetic seed, they don't understand what that means. Don't understand. So you have to explain it to them. Because a lot of Nigerians have made it difficult. A lot of Nigerians who don't have resources, they get people to send money to them so that their account will be boosted. So it looked like that was what was happening. Take clarity. That's experience there. So he said, best, number one, you must receive your salary around the same period, 26th, 27th, or whatever. It's not necessarily those dates, but constant date. Then your office must give you pay slips. Then also, it is an advantage if you have evidence that you pay tax. Because, you see, simple things like your tax identification number and all of that, prove that you're a tax law-abiding citizen and all of that. You know, he just mentioned a few things. And then, okay, he said there are different categories. So first things first, if you have ever traveled to US, UK, or Canada before, it's an advantage. So when they're trying to scrutinize, they will ask you questions in your application. Have you been to any other nation? Isn't that true? So if you say no, come here first. So there are just some things, then you must have, find a way to have evidence that you are returning. You know? So me, I was determined to go. See, when I tell you buy land, even if it is somewhere, do you understand? Even if the land is 5K. Maybe I mean dollars now. But, you know, so submitting the document. Yeah. And a few other things. Then let me tell you this. You have someone there who can write you a letter. I'm talking about someone who is a citizen. Who can write a letter whom it may concern. This person. I'll be receiving her. She'll spend time in my house and all of that. That also. So it's actually very simple. So it did help that I went to the U.S., so if you're trying Canada, UK, and it's not working, try some other place first. It helps your travel history in elsewhere before. You went and you came back. You didn't run away. That's what they're looking for. What are they looking for? What I just told you, a lot of agents don't know. They're agents of darkness. They will eat your money. They will eat. See, don't blame them. Now the hustle. Now all of you, they hustle. They don't know anything. They don't. Many agents don't know anything. But that is just an example. Are you getting what I'm saying? How did I travel to the U.S.? Someone just said, "You're a musician. There is something called the PP visa for music artists. Go and do it." I did it. Bam. I got it. And so, are you recording me? You know? So, and all of this, senior men of God, when I see, oh God, I wish I could give you deeper examples. When I went to the UK, one man gave me 3 books to read. Because you see, there are laws in that UK. Simple, small things. Small things. I wondered
Every time, maybe I did a training for any church in the UK, if they send a gift, they will send a letter. I must sign and acknowledge. All those little things. You know, in Nigeria, everything is by the Spirit. I felt led. Let us sow to this ministry. $100,000. The day they come and check your books, there is a church, they said, you will pay back £1 million. Or go to jail. Yes. Because the consequence is there. Let me just tell you this. I don't know this, what are we talking about. But I'll just say, I don't know how you baited me into saying all of this. Now, in places like UK, US, when people give offerings to an NGO, there is something called tax rebate or deduction, all right, that they get. Because as far as they're concerned, you are giving to the community. And that's why they're going to put eye on how you spend the money. Because they're costing the government. They can no longer tax the people as they should because they're giving to church. So they're going to put eye on how you... And so you must give accounts. And so if you are used to a lawless nation like this, where... Emoji, just go buy shoe. You were in prison. You would sing, oh, shoe barret.
I try, I mean.
That's good. All right, focus. I need to round off now. So listen to me. This is very important. I think it was in 2013, I put a post on Facebook. Something the Lord told me, and I wrote it down. The Lord told me, someone may not know 99 things, but know the one thing that will change your life. And I'm telling you, when it comes to spiritual leaders, I can tell you one thing for sure, especially in this part of the world. Hey, you will see people with genuine power, genuine wisdom. But it will take discipline to look through some of those things. Let me tell you something. You can... God. Should I say this? There is a type of mentorship you have not been taught. Are you listening to me? There's a type of mentorship. The Bible is replete with it, but nobody talks about it. That even if Jesus is the Messiah, John the Baptist will have the privilege, what did I call it? To baptize him. And when Jesus is coming, John the Baptist, his knees are buckling. What are you doing here? Why are you here? And then what did Jesus say? Permit it to be so for now. Let me tell you something. There's a type of mentorship we have not been told. And the Bible is replete with examples. There is a type of mentorship that is for a season. Are you listening to me? That because Ananias prayed for Paul to be saved does not make him a spiritual father. You never see anywhere where Ananias tried to instruct Saul, tried to correct him, or because Anna or any of the prophets that dedicated Jesus, they now started trying to son him. Do you understand? Now, make no mistake, some will use this information as an excuse for their pride. Because some people, they run away from accountability and being mentored. But there is also another extreme where people are just looking for who to... So, people you have not invested over, whose lives you have not touched in any way. Just because you gave them one prophetic word that was spot on, you want them to be... Are you getting what I'm saying? That sometimes you have the privilege to midwife people into their destiny. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And if you are really doing the work, you are not looking for... Why am I saying this? And how is this relevant? Sometimes, just take it. Permit it to be so. But now, it doesn't cost you anything. Honor people. There is a natural law of transition. Whether people are ready or not. Do you understand? Biologically, they will go. Honor doesn't take anything. Samuel, it is not your business. Eli's inconsistency, your own is. That man is saddled with the responsibility to pass a baton to you that you need. Are you getting this? Yeah. Do your own. Face your own. Let God handle it. Because you can be right and be in trouble. You know, I've said it before. With all the inconsistencies, don't let them say some things to you. You know, there are some people, if they don't like you, just that they don't like you. Don't worry. Maybe I don't know what I'm saying. But all I'm saying is this. Test all things. Hold on to what is true. There is another extreme. Just because daddy said it, it's therefore correct. It's not true. God has used a lot of strange people to bless me, you know. You know, there was this man that mentored me for a brief season. Just picture this. He was teaching me the word. I sat like this, was hearing what he was saying, was blessing me. I was like, You know, as we were talking, his girlfriend just walked in. How are you? And French kissed him. And he was trying to give her a sign that, you know. So, and she was looking at me like, how are you, baby? You know, and just walked away. So, now let me tell you something. This happened when I was still new in the faith. This happened when I was, so I remember when I was going back, I was like, how can God be using somebody like this? Because the contradiction was too sharp. This confirmed man of God, though. I don't mean she greeted him. You know what they call French kiss, Abby? Oh, how are you, my... So now, my mind went far that if I'm here and she can do this, what do they do? And then the fact that she was like, how are you? Oh, he doesn't know. That was her attitude. Like, I will leave you to deal with this, but I can tell you one thing for sure. My story will not be complete without that man. That day I knew this mentorship has to end as soon as possible. You understand what I'm saying? But I can tell you, God still used him. It's mysterious. And that's between him and God. You know, real life stuff. A controversial prophet. I was just watching him on. So what happened was, I was watching a video on YouTube and it switched. This is years ago. Years and years ago. I was watching on YouTube and the video switched and his video was playing. I wouldn't normally play, but I was praying, so I didn't have time to switch. But as this man of God was talking, the prophet, a lot of inconsistencies in his life, but prophetic gifts spot on. The Lord began to give me prophetic words for people that I will see in the meeting. I'm going to teach on this later. Oh my God. Anyway, not now. Time has gone. I wrote down 60 prophecies. That was the first time I called someone's name. And I went there with the first time. This man, I'm not sure I can take a picture with him. That's it. Is that serious? But the gift is there. I can tell you. Gift, oh. And so how do we handle the balance? Because I can tell you one thing for sure. One simple rule of the
I'm giving you one heavy secret now. If you like, go and say it on Twitter.
Okay, don't worry. Let me tell you something.
One of the biggest rules.
You all are joking with me. Let's close. No, I want to teach you a lesson. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We'll continue. So the Bible says, test all things and hold on to. Is it a big secret or not? All right. Will you do this thing again?
No.
All right. All right. Listen, this is actually very serious. I'll be done in a few minutes. When it comes to prophetic gifts, the fastest way to grow in prophetic gifts is proximity to a strong gift. There's a reason it's called School of Prophets, because the way prophetic gifts work, there is supposed to be an association. Come on, are you with me? Because the moment Saul finds himself in the company of prophets, he will what? So let me tell you, why I'm telling you this is because we have to deal with something in this generation. A lot of these prophets have poor doctrine, poor character. A lot of them should be sharply rebuked. Now, a good number of them are not saved at all. A good number of them are not Bible prophets. They are magicians. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I'm talking about the ones that are Christians but have inconsistencies. What do we do? Because if we totally castigate them, I can tell you one thing for sure. The gift will disappear in this generation. Because the only way for prophetic gifts to grow is for us to side with them. So how are we going to do it? I don't know. I don't know. I'm telling you the truth. Because some of the attitudes are egregious. They need to be rebuked. It's hard. But gift is gift. Some of them wake. Don't play. Have you seen someone with prophetic gifts? You know, someone was telling me 3 weeks ago. He said, do you know why I started talking to you, another man of God? He said, why? He said, one prophet told me 2011. He said, these are the four people that are going to lead the next generation of church. And he mentioned your name. There is no way, except by the Spirit, you would have known them. Prophetic gifts. So how do we do it? I have some ideas. There must be a system of love. You know, now in this generation, people we have not commended when they were right, we want to rebuke when they are wrong. It will not work. I can tell you that one thing. So these are the issues. But for you, for your own good, all I'm saying is test all things. Test all things. There are some people, your relationship with them would be with caution. Are you listening to me? There are some people, you can't even be around them for long. I'm telling you. You go, receive it as one. Hey, God. All right. You know, there are some people, you go, sow your seed, you disappear. Are you listening to me? Let's close. But anyway, time is fast spent. We have a whole month to talk about this, right? Hallelujah. Is doctrine a big deal for you?
is a big deal for you. Say we contend. Say we contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Say the truth prevails in my day. Thank you, Father. Speak in tongues, Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that we have learned. We are doers of your word and not hearers alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we continue this series, we know that we are blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Say loud, amen. All right, please.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809-996-7000. Blessings.